before starting this workshop, I want to remind you, we have all practiced one song for a long time. Barbara, we had a secret rehearsal here, and we sang a song. We learned, all of us learned to sing a song for you. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Barbara. Happy birthday to you. May you never be born again. May you never be born again. May you never be born again. Happy birthday to you.
Happy to be here.
So many
devotees.
Thank you. Wonderful.
So, I'm sorry. I took a little rest, so I have to get my thing together. I want to introduce you all now to the book, the Harinam Chintamani. Can I just have I need just something to put all this down here. This is a little bit too big. I was thinking of a little table. Yeah, thank you, Sharangatagra. This seems to be ideal nasty. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, Hare Krishna. I wanted to introduce you to the Harinam Chintamani. As we learned yesterday, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur went on a personal retreat, and this book really has grown out of his deep, deep realizations about this, what he did on the retreat, that is to chant. While in Jagannath Puri, he took shelter at the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. You can see him on the right side, who is called the Nama Acharya, the great teacher of the holy name. Haridas Thakur used to reside near Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was about 50 meters away from him, and he would chant from morning till night. He was so oblivious of forgetfulness to the external circumstances under which he chanted, that he sat in the glaring sun. It didn't even notice. So one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came by and he saw that his dear devotee was sitting in the sun. And here in the Adriatic Sea, we hear, don't go into the sun between 11 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the afternoon, otherwise you will look like a Niemetska tourista, red like a German tourist. That's how they say here in the coast. All German tourists look red because they don't know that between 11 and 5 o'clock no one goes out. Now in India, the sun is about, I would say, 20 times more intense. And Haridas Thakur sat in the sun, in the midday sun over here. So one day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came by and he had a toothpick with him. It was such a big toothpick from Lord Jagannath. a stick which Rajagana uses to clean his zubas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knowing that Haridas Thakur needed some shade, took that little stick and put it in the earth, upon which this stick began to sprout and develop into a nice shade-giving tree, the Siddha Bakula tree. And under this, it happened within moments. Under this tree, Haridas Thakur would chant. Now he had a shade. So Haridas Thakur is known amongst the devotees as the one who gives strength for chanting. Why? Because his example is just so absolutely inspiring. And I would like to read you a little bit about his example, or express a little bit about his life, because we will need a little bit of this before we go into the exercise of this morning. First of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appointed amongst his different associates devotees who became teachers in a particular area in which they had obtained full realization. For instance, Sanatana Goswami became the teacher in humility, and the Goswamis became the teachers in Rasa Tattva. Advaita Acharya became the teacher in Vaidhi Bhakti, and Haridas Thakur the Namacharya, the great teacher in the holy name. In his work Harinam Chintamani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Haridas Thakur and asks him different questions regarding the science of chanting, or as we say, the Nam Tattva. And the answers of Haridas Thakur comprise the main body of this book. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this book is not for everyone. It has been written for those who have developed strong faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and in the practice of devotional service called chanting. Only those can take full benefit of this book. It's not a book for everyone. It's amazing, isn't it? So Haridas is such an example of someone who has taken exclusive shelter in the chanting. I mean, he didn't do anything else than chant. It's described in them that already before sunrise, Haridas Thakur had chanted many, many rounds, and when the sun was rising, he said, but you have just said, du bist gerade untergegangen. Why are you untimely rising? He meant, I was chanting the whole night. I didn't see how time was passing. So then throughout the day, he just continued his chanting till late in the night, sometimes overcome by spontaneous feelings of devotion, who would crawl all over him, these feelings, like ants. He would experience Bhakti's ecstatic symptoms. He would laugh, for instance, or cry, or he would change colors like a rainbow. He would then jump up and run to the Ganga and sing and dance on the banks of the Ganga, totally lost in ecstasy. When will the day come, Hriboye, when this will happen to you? Imagine, wouldn't you all like this to become a little bit ecstatic? Wouldn't that be good? I think it would be, it's our dream. No? Amarananda smiles because his parents are Sufis and they know about the bliss of ecstasy. No? Yes, we want to join the ecstatic human beings. There was once a question to Mirabai. Mirabai, you are a princess, the daughter of a mighty king, but you are walking through India, mixing with these poor sadhus. And then Mirabai answered this question. He said, why can Mirabai not join the ordinary people? It is because she has joined the ecstatic people. That's why Mirabai can't go home any longer. So the home means in spiritual language to the material world. So Haridas was born in a Muslim family, and why this is so we will hear this evening in the village of Burhan. But as when he was still very young, the sanskaras, that is the deep spiritual expressions of his previous life, surfaced, they came up, and he left his village and his family, left Burhan, and built himself a cottage in the forest. And there, from morning till evening, he was found chanting. I think some of us have this similar situation. We became devotees when we were still very young. I know Madayanti was maybe 15, 16, I think you told me. And why did Madayanti, when she was 15, 16, there's still a young girl, you know, joining such an insecure future as a movement dedicated to spreading the love of God in this age of Kali. It's only because there are previous sanskaras. Madayanti did not do this, follow this path just in this life. But Prabhupada had said those who join so young had previous experience. And so I think it is with many of you. You had previous experience, since you may have needed to go through a little modern karma, so to say, by going through your life before. But then you made a strong cut and started your spiritual life in seriousness. So unfortunately, wicked people try to disturb the young person, young Haridas in the forest. They sent a very young and beautiful prostitute to tempt him. They wanted to catch him with this prostitute in the dead of night, engaged in physical activity, and then wanted to in this way disrupt his fame and throw him out, you know. But the girl was converted by Haridas Thakur. She became a wonderful devotee. There is still a wonderful Samadhi Mandir dedicated to her. She became so advanced that she was advising even saints how to progress in Krishna consciousness. This is how strong Haridas Thakur's devotion was. He transformed the girl, but he left his cottage in the forest and went to a place called Fulia. Let me get this straight. He crossed the Ganga singing. the glories of the Lord, he was so ecstatic that I think even the fishes in the Ganga became Krishna conscious by his association. And in Saptagram, I have not remembered it correctly, he came out of the Ganga and stayed near Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. These were two brothers who were extraordinarily rich. They were financing all the brahmanas, all the spiritual education. They were, in our estimation today, multimillionaires, and they had one son. Do you know who his name is? Raghunath. So our Haridas was staying as a guest to Yadunandan Acharya, and very often Raghunath, as a very young boy, visited the house of Yadunandan Acharya, and he would be with Haridas and asked him questions. He would bring him fruits. He would maybe put a glass of water before him. But Haridas was just chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then he looked, and there was glass, and there was a mango, and then the distant Raghunath, just sitting and watching him. Like this, you know. So, these two brothers had often spiritual discussions in their homes. In cultured families, this was done in India. You would have invite different pandits, that means knowers of the scriptures, and they would discuss spiritual knowledge, and everyone would listen to it and feel enriched in their lives. So once Haridas was invited into this learned assembly, the August assembly of the Majumdars, and he spoke about the chanting of the holy name, his favorite subject. And he described that when one chants Hare Krishna, one result is that the stock of one's karmic reactions will be depleted. You become free from karma, in other words. And then he said, there's even a bigger result. And when he said, there is even a bigger result, there was a sinful brahmana, his name was Gopal Chakravarti. He was dealing with a lot of money. He was a tax collector. And he said, stop. I just cannot imagine that by chanting the holy names, the sinful reaction, the karma, is going away. I just can't imagine. If this is true, then may my nose fall off. Now, you all have beautiful noses. And you cannot imagine how does a nose fall off. Maybe if I fight with someone from Montenegro, maybe then no, when you say may my nose fall off, it means you get lepra, and lepra melts the nose, it melts the hands, it melts the feet, you rot while you're still alive. So Gopal Chakravarti said, if it is true that by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the bad karma just leaves you, then my nose shall fall off. Everyone was shocked. What such a good discussion, and now this brahmana had taught so violently. So they said, please. Do you want something to eat? They brought him out of the assembly, and they felt, oh, Haridas, we are sorry, this brahmana is really out of terms, you know, he really said the wrong thing, he challenged you. But it was Haridas who felt sorry, because he felt soon this brahmana will have a terrible disease. And it is a fact, the next day lepra started, and after only 2 weeks, the beautiful nose of Gopal Chakravarti just melted off as if it was made of wax and came too close to the fire. So Haridas felt very sorry, and he reflected, wherever I am, I'm getting in trouble. Envious people just can't tolerate me. And I will just go away from human civilization. It's the age of Kali, and people are just so disturbed. So he went to Fulia, that's near to Advaita Acharya's house, and he took his residence, imagine this, in a cave at the bank of the Ganga where a crocodile had lived. These are not the most beautiful places to stay. I was once in the banks of the Ganga, and there were such crocodile caves, and once when I was chanting there, I took shelter in a crocodile cave. I just went inside because the monsoon had started again to blow in. But it smelled so bad in the crocodile caves, and plus you never know if they return, and you don't want to share your room with a crocodile. It's not the ideal company. So Haridas lived there, and he lived together with a snake there in the cave, but he just wanted to avoid all types of human beings because he felt people could not understand his ecstasy and were envious. Many descriptions of his life in the cave, I will summarize it by saying that he became so famous that all the time local people came to look for his advice, and they brought him fruits and water. Drinking water was not necessary because he lived at the Ganga, and Ganga was full of drinking water. There were many incidents in the cave which increased his glory. For instance, the snake went out of the cave, giving place, the whole cave, to Haridas. Or Maya Devi came personally to test him in the dead of night, and he made Maya Devi, the goddess of the whole material universe, a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and gave her initiation into the holy name. Anyways, his glory spread and spread until the Muslim government became just so threw an eye on him. Haridas was born a Muslim, and they felt, we are invading here, we want to make the Hindus into Muslims, we don't want that the Muslims turn into Hindus. And they brought him to a court, and they said, Haridas, say the, now those who are Muslims amongst us can help me, what is the Muslim Glaubensbekenntnis, the Quran is the scripture, but there is
Ashadanga.
The Ashadanga, you should say the Ashadanga. This is a Muslim statement, I believe in Allah, the
Allah
and Muhammad, and so on. Say this, and give up your Hare Krishna Hare Ram. Haridas said, it's not possible for me. The chanting is in my soul. And even if out of religious persecution you should cut my body in 1,000 bleeding parts, my soul will continue to chant
Hare Krishna.
And then he laughed. My dear king, Muslim king, you have been a little bewildered, I think. It's the same Allah who convinces you to be a Muslim and me to chant Hare Krishna. Same God. not a different one. He inspires all of the living entities in different ways. How bewildered you must be that you think that I'm doing something else. Oh, don't speak like this to a king. And especially not if he is advised by Islamic imams or priests. You know. He said, Haridas, if you don't turn your beliefs, we will severely punish you. Then they grabbed Haridas, they grabbed the saint, and they brought him into the prison. And the next morning, they took him out of the prison. They brought him to... Please tell Tulsi Priya. They brought him to the streets and began to beat him with whips, with the, what is it, peitschen, with but heavy, you know, and he's really heavy and strong body. What is this called, this tool? Whips, with whips. There were a few people going like, and you know, I don't know if you know, but if you get one lash with a whip, it cuts right through the skin. And when you get a few, then the skin just purges off your body. And they were just going like, dong, 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 dong. And they were really punishing him severely. In a way, he continued his chanting all the way, and he didn't feel any pain, because Krishna himself, or Lord Chaitanya himself, took the whipping on his back. A few years later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas, "Do you know why you didn't feel any pain?" Haridas said, "No, my lord." And then Lord Chaitanya turned his golden body around, and it was bleeding, and all the wounds of the whips were on his body. Haridas prayed all the time, "My dear lord, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Please forgive them." So at the end, these people who were whipping him became so frustrated. They said to Haridas, "Haridas, we are supposed to kill you, but since we can't kill you, the king will kill us. Can't you just show a little mercy on us, please?" Imagine. So Haridas said, okay. And he fell down as if dead. Then they argued, what should we do with him? A proper Muslim is buried, but if a Muslim is denied a burial, then he will go to hell. So they said, "We will not bury him, let him go to hell." And they threw him in the Ganga. Then when Haridas was floating out of harm's reach, he happily swam on the bank of the Ganga, then he climbed on the banks, and he happily continued to chant and dance. And the king believed that this is a miracle. He said, "You are a big fakir. We cannot kill you, so you may do your Hare Krishna Hare Ram." Shortly afterwards, Lord Chaitanya appeared in Navadvip, and Haridas went together with Advaita Acharya to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take his shelter. And after some time, Lord Chaitanya drew him close to him and made him, so to say, an officer of his mission to spread the holy name, he made him Dhammacharya, the great teacher. And I think there's a reason why Lord Chaitanya took Haridas, because Haridas had been an outcast, an outcast from the Muslim society and an outcast from the Hindu society. No one wanted to deal with him. He was totally inconceivable to Muslims and to Hindus because he had joined the ranks of the ecstatic human beings. When the Lord moved to Jagannath Puri, he arranged for this residence of Haridas and planted the Siddha Bakula tree. When he left his body, Haridas Thakur was taken in the arms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who made a big kirtan and led a procession with Haridas to the ocean, and Lord Chaitanya bathed him in the ocean waves and then gave him a burial, you know, in the sand on the beach of Puri. Now, when you go to Puri, you will find a wonderful temple where Haridas' mortal remains have stayed, where his samadhi is, and you can be there and involve yourself in the chanting. So next to this holy shrine, Bhaktivinoda Thakur built himself a little cottage called the Bhakti Kutir, where he wrote the Harinam Chintamani. Would you like to hear an overview? What is in this glorious book, Harinam Chintamani? Well, it's all about Naam Bhajan, how to worship Krishna while chanting the holy name, and it has 15 chapters. The first gives a brief summary of Vaishnava theology. The second chapter introduces the subject of the holy name and distinguishes between pure chanting, that is Shuddhanam, and shadow chanting, that is what some of us still do, that is not the real name. And then the next 10 chapters discuss how to come out of the shadow of Namabhasa chanting to Shuddhanam chanting. It's an instruction, and we will start with the first instruction just in a few minutes, how to progress from the shadow name to the real name. Then the 14th chapter, it talks about how to worship the deity, and finally it gives in the 15th chapter something which, how to explain it to all of you. It's called Bhajan Pranali. It's very confidential instructions about entering the path of Raganuga Bhakti, the sacred part of ecstasy. And it's a wonderful chapter with wonderful instructions. I'm not sure if we will be able to come to this chapter for two reasons. One is you will have to have mastered the other subjects of the book. And the second is I'm not sure if this can, if I teach it this year. We are opening in Radhadesh a kirtan course and in Mayapur a kirtan academy, and there this will be taught in detail. It's about how to combine chanting with meditation. This still meditation means where you only see one scene, and then with moving meditation, where your meditation moves along with Krishna through his pastimes. It's a Svarasika meditation. It's very, very nice. It's very juicy, you could say. So I think because of time constrictions, we will not do it this year. But I really, really yearn to teach this to the devotees of ISKCON, because I feel there is great interest in combining chanting and meditation. And I think it's also good if we know that this is there in our tradition, and we get some idea and some faith in our glorious tradition. So of the names which Haridas Thakur chanted, he chanted 192 rounds, as you know. He chanted 64 loudly. He would also sometimes dance while he was chanting them. 64 softly and 64 mentally or meditationally, and he would meditate about Krishna while doing this. So I want to teach you today to chant with your here it is. To chant in full ecstasy. But what I want to say is, remember how we ended the lecture. The lecture was all about the great promise which the Holy Name has for all of us, that it is the most powerful sadhana if we can chant it expertly and properly. You remember what was expert chanting? You need to avoid the offenses. So the the offenses in chanting the Holy Name are very extensive, but they all grow from one root. It's like a tree. The same tree grows from one root. The root, it says, Haridas Thakur said, I see some people are chanting constantly but still do not attain love of Godhead. I think Haridas Thakur, when he was staying in Puri, became quickly famous and many people followed his path. They chanted or started to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and the Japa Mala. So Haridas said, I see that there are many people who have taken up the practice, but I see they don't become ecstatic, they don't get the love of Godhead, Krishna Prema. When I see this, he says, I know that the offense of inattentiveness is interfering with their attainment of Prema Bhakti. I can see that. They chant, but there's this inattention while chanting, and therefore they can't get prema bhakti. From inattentiveness, he said, arise all other anattas, all other problems. Therefore, I thought that in this first workshop, we would learn a little bit to work on our concentration. Do you think that's a good idea? Because if we chant with full attention Shyamnam, and with full concentration, inattentiveness or lack of concentration will not be with you. So you must know that there are usually three kinds of inattention. One is indifference. You don't really care to chant. I know some of you don't care any longer to chant 16 rounds or rounds at all. This is one kind of, it's called odasinya, indifference. Then there is a lethargy, yadya. Oh, the day is already over, and now I still have 15 and a half rounds left, you know. I'm too lazy really to start. Mm-hmm. And the last one is vikshepa, or distractedness. You chant and whoop, something else starts, whoop, and my God, then the computer, YouTube is also there, you know, and you look at this and become distracted. So I would like to work on these types of inattention with you by telling you a very, very easy technique which Prabhupada has spoken about. That is, that when you chant, you bring your attention to the first Hare. Do you have your Japamalas with you? Good. We will do this now. I will guide you in this. But first I want to tell you about the technique. In the beginning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Prabhupada writes, we first address the internal energy of Krishna, that is Hare, yes. Thus we say, O Radharani,
O
Hare,
O
energy of the Lord.
No?
This is in the very beginning of the mantra. This is you connect with Hare or Radharani. And Prabhupada then writes on, when we address someone in this way, he usually says, yes, what do you want? The answer is, please engage me in your service. This should be our prayer. So when you enter the Maha Mantra, you enter it through the door of the first Hare. And in the beginning, when you start with an inattentive mind, which has also yadya, means a lot of laziness and indifference in you, you just always bring your mind back to the first Hare. Whatever happens to you, whatever happens on the road of your chanting, you just bring it to the first Hare. And not to more, Brajabandhu, not to more. Just always only the first Hare. Because if you do too much in the beginning, you try to remember the whole name, you will lose it. But if you only give it a simple task, the first Hare, then this will work very nicely. Now, I've tried to avoid saying this, but I have to say it. Tulsi Priya, wait, Tulsi Priya, please wait. Karoli, please wait and hear. We like your children almost the way you love them. But we need to create an atmosphere. Please hear, don't go with him. We need to create an atmosphere of concentration. It's different than in a temple. This is a retreat. It's something else. In the temple, we bring the children and there's loud kirtan and they can dance and chant. But in a retreat, the success of the retreat is dependent on an undisturbed atmosphere. So what we have done is, because we value the children very much, we have created alternative engagements. And Govinda Nandan has done it. It will not help if you play with the children outside, because they will be loud, but it will help you and the children if you go to the playing places with them. I know you want to hear and you want to chant and you couldn't find someone who takes the children. I know this. I know you. But I request you to support your children, because they are bored here. That's why they're allowed. So I'm very sorry. I know the devotees know it, but they are so good-hearted. They think, let me try. This time our child is half a year older. He will be absolutely like a sadhu and just sit and meditate all the time. But it will take a few more years than they are ready. So your task now is, first of all, to sit properly and then we will chant, and you just bring the mind. Akura, your bibek is not there? No problem. You can chant without bibek also. Whenever, when you chant, your whole attention needs to go to the first Hari. Yes, and I will say many things to you. I will even try to disrupt your concentration and make you inattentive. But you just keep on, it's called bringing your mind always back. Vedan, ready? Good. So, we chant in one voice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Please continue to chant. So I request you to bring your whole attention now to the very first Hari of the mantra. Now,
yes,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Bring all your concentration to the first Hari.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Your whole mind should go to the very first Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
First Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Some of you are not bringing the full concentration. See the first Hari.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Continue.
Hare Krishna,
now don't think of anything, just relax your mind, but focus it to this first Hare. Yes, now slowly you're getting there. Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
Again, first Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Now, as you are chanting, Try to go to the first Hari, then stay with the mantra as long as you can. Say, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. What we will do now is we will chant a little bit slower. But our task will be to enter the mantra through the first Hari and then stay as long as we can. Whenever you lose the concentration, as it is bound to happen in the beginning, bring it then just simply back to the first Hari and then try to stay in the flow of the mantra as long as you can. You will chant slower and I will chant one time for you. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
For better concentration, sit tall.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
The first Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Now as you chant, please fill each of the names with your entire consciousness. It's almost like putting a torchlight on each of the name. When you chant Hari, your awareness is directed to Hari like the ray of a torchlight is shining on the Hari. Then you go to Krishna and your consciousness, like the ray of a torchlight, goes to Krishna. Then you go to Hari again, and Krishna here. Just, it will help you to sit tall, because then the energies can flow better. So again,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
the biggest
Hare Krishna, Hare Hare,
I don't remember.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. And now I want to introduce you to the technique of the no technique. What this is that in the beginning you just do these two things. First, you enter the mantra on the first Hari. Then, you stay with each of the names as long as you can. When you lose it, you again go to this first technique, the first Hari. And then, after some time, you drop all technique. It's a little bit like if you want to swim in the Ganga. In the very beginning, you enter the Ganga with your own feet, and the cool water begins to float around you, and you just go more into the Ganga until finally you do not stand on your own feet any longer, but you just let go of the ground and you float down the mantra. This is what happens when you chant, but only if you avoid the offense of inattentiveness by chanting. If you keep on being inattentive, you will never enter a divine flow. You will not feel the divine energy working in you. So you have to enter with your own effort by avoiding inattentiveness, walking, so to say, in the river with your own feet, and then after some time you will feel you can be carried by another energy, the divine energy of the Maha Mantra. But if you are not avoiding the aparad, if you're not working in the beginning, it will not happen. What happens when you let go is you will, here comes the word, space out. What we are talking about is called space in, you know. In other words, entering a sacred space, not just going with our mind into the world. And this will happen if you make a conscious effort. So I will request you, we will now do this, and afterwards we will do a beautiful kirtan, and then we will have a very interesting exercise. So it helps to sit tall. It's alignment. I usually, in other Japa workshops, I teach people how to sit first. But here you are more advanced. I don't want to bore you with this. Yeah. But you know from the previous retreats which you have heard on tape how important it is to sit tall. But let's not waste time on this very beginner subject.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
The first Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, now stay with the whole mantra. Stay with each Hare, and each Krishna, and each Rama. You want to hear consciously, that means with full awareness, each day. Make a little effort.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
I want to tell you a secret.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
You don't have to be controlled by your mind and your moods.
Hare Krishna,
continue.
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare.
You can use your mind and engage it. It's not that the mind has to engage you all the time.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
just give it something to do. Give your mind that simple
path
to just focus on each name. First Hare.
Hare Krishna,
each name.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Now let go of tensing. No tensing now. Just float.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you. the Mala Mantra, and I request you to do on your own, that is, without my guidance, these three steps. First, just be with the first Hari. Then I think relatively soon, try to be present with each name, and then just let the mantra work on you. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you.
Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna,
the deep underlying idea of chanting with attentiveness is that Krishna and his name, as we have heard, is not different. The name Krishna is in a spiritual way Krishna. And just like when we have a person, you know, friend or person, a guest, we just don't deal with him in an indifferent way or in a lazy way, but we are there for him. So when we invite Krishna to come, we are similarly there for him. If we are just not there, allow the culture of distractedness, which is after all the culture in which we live normally, if we allow that to go on, it's an aparad. Yesterday I quoted to you that we are constantly attacked by mass distraction weapons, and you know, we are all in this culture. There's constant emails, constant telephone calls in our lives. We modern people are so stressed and by so many things that there is always an underlying vibration in our psyche. There are always, in Sanskrit you say, vrittis. Vrittis mean thought waves going on. Or if we don't think anything, then there is just a mood of restlessness, you know, a mood of being unwell, a mood of being ill at ease, even with our own selves. You know, we are not comfortable with our own selves any longer. You know, therefore means because we are children born in the age of distraction. When we chant, we will have to do something to exit this culture of distraction. It will remain a conscious effort to do this. And a simple little technique which you have learned is what? First Hari, very good that you remember. Then every name, and then the technique of no technique. You know, it's very important. This mantra is not about, or this bhakti is not about techniques. You know, a relationship. Let's learn a relationship technique. It's so impersonal. You know, we may learn skills like attentive listening skills, but a relationship is never something mechanical. Would be wrong. So I will now invite one devotee whom I know since many years. I know that he is very honest and connected with his feelings, and we will make a little experiment with you. I will invite Govindanandan to come here, and I will ask him questions. We need two stolitsas and two chairs. You have to discable myself. Govindananda, would you kindly take your seat here in an elevated seat? Can you all see what will happen with Govindananda? He might melt on his chair. I'm not sure about this wing here because I'm turning you. Would you all mind to come a little bit more in this direction? You are fine, I think. Or maybe you want to turn a little bit the Sharangataka. Would you be so kind to just 1 meter back or whoever? So you will all have to support Govindanandan because, as we say in North Germany, he built his house near the ocean. So the idea of this workshop is to transform our inattentive habits in relationship to the Holy Name. We have learned so far that inattentiveness is the root cause of all the anattas, and which can happen in the chanting. And we have learned from Haridas Thakur, who was in a town of many saints, that he observed many people chant from morning till evening, like me, you know, they were following Haridas Thakur, but still they have not attained love of Godhead. I think Haridas Thakur said it's because they are inattentive, they chant inattentive. So I have now picked one person from the group, Govindanand, and I asked him if it's alright if we pick him, but he does not know the questions which will come, because we will not we don't want, we didn't want him to prepare himself, but we are so what Govindanandan has is only his sincerity and his honesty. I would love you to give an answer. Of course, if you feel that there is something which only your wife can know, then don't tell this in public, you know. Of course, we are in a decent human people. But otherwise, try to be as open as possible. Now, I have to say something to Brightco and the others. This is not about Govindanandan. This is about you. I will ask him questions which I asked all of you. And as you hear the question and the answers of Govindanandan, I request you to think actively along and give your own answers which you would give. You will not give the answers loudly, but I will request you at the end of this session to discuss some of the questions with your partner, who I believe is sitting already next to you. Yes, you have, or you can also travel a little and travel to your partner, you know. So this exercise is not about one person. I need to say this because afterwards the devotees in the Balkan are so interested to talk about individual people. I don't think it's just the devotees in the Balkan, it's in Germany also, in Persia also. It's not about Govindanandan. He just helps us to find our own answers to the question. Therefore, I will ask him to give a little to give an answer, and then I will make a short pause where we just hear some music where you give your own answers. So I will start with an easy question, Govindananda. I request you to go back in time and tell us when your japa was at its worst, the worstest period in your life. By the way, to make it simple, I asked all of you also, Ravi, you also think about this. Remember, the low point, it should be very concrete. It should be a time in your life, specific circumstances which were there, and please know we all had such crises in our spiritual lives, and we all can emphasize, we won't judge you, because we all are asked to remember a similar situation in our life. So please, Govindananda, tell me the time when your japa was at its worst, the absolute low point. And tell me not a description of what it was, but just the time. It was 1900 when nobody was born. The circumstances where I was just new in Krishna, whatever. Do you have something?
When you said, I remember the period, it was maybe five or six years ago, and I was working as a financial advisor, and I had lots of phone calls, small appointments where many people were coming during the day, like this, and I would not be able to be present in what I'm doing. I was always planning the next step, next step, next step. And the day was like this, and in the evening I would be pretty frustrated, even after doing so many things. And it reflected on my japa also. During the japa period, I would also plan things, you know, I need to do this, that. And I heard many tips you should write down, what you hear, what comes to your mind, then it will calm down. But it didn't stop until came upon one book which was talking about the present moment, and then it helped. Mm-hmm. Then I was able to be there doing the activity that was needed, whether it was chanting or it was doing my job. And when I succeeded in this, then it stopped.
Let me just go back to this time. So you were busy all day to give financial advices, and you were planning all the time. And what happened exactly? How was it when you sat down in the evening? You were there on your couch, maybe, or what did you do? Did you chanted with some japa? What did you feel during that time? How was the practice? Did you go back in time? How was?
It was a little awkward actually, because I had my morning time for chanting, but still, because of so many things that I had on my mind, and tasks I need to do, in devotional service also some services that I need to do, I was always like one step in front of myself, and then in front, like a little bit in the future. So I was never here to relish what I was doing. So I could not relish even the holy name, because I was always like, what is my next thing to do?
I will now be a little bit more I would like to hear the feelings which you have. You are analyzing something which you did, but I'm just seeing, trying to see you, and I don't yet feel you. You're sitting there, and how do you feel? What's going on for you? Not an analysis of the situation.
This period, I was quite disappointed in myself.
Good.
In the sense that I could not meet my values, my aspirations. And in this sense, I was like, why do I do like this? Because I know better, and still I function like this. So I was a little disappointed, a little like, but you know so many things. Why don't you follow, like, in this sense? So it was a little bit like disappointment, and a little like I was a little sad. You're in the movement for so long. You should already know something.
Thank you so much. We are now getting. I will stop a little bit. The discussion you need, if you want to explore a situation, most of us are thinking what that situation is, but that's not what we experience. We experience core feelings. So Govindanandan has told us he was feeling disappointed in himself and even a little sad. I'm not in, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing? Now comes a very difficult question. Could it be that this experience which you had, a period of really chanting, you know, a real bad chanting, has influenced your present state of chanting? Could it be that there, I'm now sorry for being a little psychological, could it be that your failure, where you feel you failed yourself, and this disappointment in you, am I really real, or what am I, a showman here? You know, this disappointment, I don't want to interpret you, I don't know if that was your feeling, but the feeling of disappointment and sadness, that somehow you, I want to tell you, Vinanana, I have seen many of us are influenced by our past experience, and many devotees here and all over the world, and many people who come in my lectures are just so much the children of the past, so to say. They have taken with them what they did, and they think I'm always a failure. They think it's not possible for me to be ecstatic. This japa retreat, Kirtan retreat, I don't believe that something will change. I'm here because I want to see Sachinandan Swami and eat some good prasadam, and that's all, you know. But so could you shed some light on this?
I could say that it is for me more like a warning and a reminder how it can be if I'm not attentive enough, and if I'm not into the chanting and into the process, and if I'm not connected with what I'm doing in the proper way, so that I don't know why I'm doing it, for whom I'm doing it, what am I doing, where will I go. So for me, it is more like a sign, like a warning. Now, when I enter the stage which I already feel the symptoms, which was similar to this, it's a warning, you know. Now I know. It's getting. So what I did? Where did I make a wrong step?
I would thank you so much, Govindanandan. I hope I didn't interrupt you. I'm very interested in this, what you said now. Now imagine you could go back in time in a time machine, Star Wars, you know, you would be in Zagreb, what was it, 19, and 5 years ago,
six, seven
years ago. that would be 2013 minus 2008, no?
Seven,
what,
something.
2007, I'm not good at mathematics at all. 2007. Imagine you could go back in time. You have done your financial consulting. You have done some rounds, but you sit down now. What could you do differently? Same circumstances. What could you do? Because I can imagine in life a similar circumstance will come where there are just too many things on your plate, as they say in England, too many things to do.
No. When we spoke and when we got to the exact year, now I remember one more thing that was like minister to what happened. Mm-hmm. It's that I placed my shelter into something which is impermanent, and it is finances. At one moment, it was not just my job consulting; it was more like one kind of investment, which will bring me peace and enough money where I can live my spiritual life, you know, without worrying about these daily things. So this is a period where I put a little shelter for some time in something impermanent, and it showed itself as not worthy of it. And then I recognized, oh, I did such a mistake. And then one thing that I can say that I remember that I would like to do things differently was that one sentence that I still keep from this period is like, there are many reasons why you don't change things, but there is one why you will change it. Maybe you told this sentence, I don't know, but I caught it somewhere. And this reason is I cannot bear do things the same way I am doing it at the moment. So I was like, I just want to live life. I had enough, you know. It's really like no more these things. It was financially very expensive experience, and emotionally very expensive experience, and spiritually very learning experience, because I saw, this was not really like something I should have done. But in the same way, I said, oh yeah, but it must be that I needed it, because it happened. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, this happened, and I learned something. Now whoever approaches me with such idea that there's something similar that will give me a shelter, I said, oh, thank you very much. No, so I learned this from this period. And that's what I would do differently now. I would not take shelter in these things anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's an interesting thing. In the process, you found something that you took shelter in money, actually, and not in Krishna.
Just for a while.
Good. And that, when you chant, you want to take shelter in Krishna. Good. I thank you very much, Govindanandan. I would now like all of you to turn to your partners, and I will read to you a question which I would love you to discuss now with your partner. This was, as I said, just something to get you going, to inspire you to deal a little bit with inattention. Thank you. No, Stani. No, when it was, one moment, I will just... What is the next melody, Govinda? What is? Yeah.
Good idea.
So, did you all find your partner, Valentin? Yeah? No, no. Mandakini, you have? Very good. Now, Slujite, please listen. I request you now to discuss with your partner when your period was worse and your spiritual practice was really inattentive. Then I would like you to discuss with him what you could do better to avoid distractedness and inattention. Yeah? Is the question clear? So worst period, and then how you can what you could do better, because we live in the up and down world, you know, we will all, in English it's called vicissitudes, you know, up and down, and we need to equip, and it's all about avoiding inattention, right? Full attention. Start now. No, it was very, very good, very good. It's because it's you know, they now this helps them to go deeper into the subject, and now they can talk.
If I can admit something to myself, I can admit to everyone. If those things that I cannot admit to myself, this is.
Yeah, you can sit or you can, you are now free. I just wanted to.
This is the end of it.
Or maybe it's good if you stay till the end. Stay there. Or at least get on the seat after 5 minutes. Then we. Krishna, Krishna, I go. Thank you very much for your work on this or your talk on this. In the Harinam Chintamani, there are a few inspirations which can help us to increase our concentration. And this now is something where you can be fully concentrated. And if you wish, take notes. But as you might know, if we sent you a training newsletter, and this here, what I will say now, will hopefully appear there. When a devotee sees that his chanting has become so indifferent and he is so inattentive all the time, he has a few things he can do. One is what you have done now, to give up sense objects, you know, which distract you, like your film computer, and spend some time in the company of Vaishnavas, you know, spending good quality time with devotees. There in a secluded place, like the island of Ish, the text only mentioned a secluded place, one can chant the name. At first, one should chant for only half an hour concentrated. You know, you can't beat your mind into submission when you have a problem of being distracted. So you just do half an hour of full concentration. so that your mind won't explode. But then as you chant with others together, you will get a lot of help by the example of these devotees. It will somehow color you or influence you. And it is said that if you do this gradually, the holy name will take Peter a permanent place in the chanter's mind. It will be permanently there. My dear devotees, we had the Sadhu Sangha retreat in Austin, Texas, of all places. Texas means cowboys. In the morning, because we chanted a whole day, everyone reported that in the night the chanting had continued because the holy name had taken a permanent place in the mind. Nice, isn't it? Now, it's a Vaishnava custom, this is the second advice, that chanting is best performed in the presence of Tulasi Devi, that is, you know, in the presence of Tulsi, everything becomes a holy place, or in a place of Lord Krishna's pastimes, or in the association of saintly devotees. There are three places, in other words, which can help you to overcome indifference. To chant before Tulsi Devi and feel her vibration. To chant in a place of Lord Krishna's pastimes and in the association of saintly devotees. Gradually, you can, when you do this, increase the numbers of your rounds gradually, and this will quickly help you to break away from the objects of distraction, that is material life, which always makes you, pulls you there, like Govindanandan revealed to us in his, very honestly, that for some time he had only for maybe half a minute or so, he had become money-minded, you know, and that does happen when you are in the material world. But as you increase, as you follow this practice, chant first with half an hour, just full concentration, then gradually increase in the, not in your old environment, but go on retreat, and then chant at a holy dharm in the, what was it, in the presence of Tulsi, in the holy dharm, or Vaishnav society. What you can do as an alternative, and I like this very much, you can go in a secluded place. I think some of you have done this. They have gone into the Bosnian mountains in a shekel and totally isolate yourself from everyone. In the old times, people would go into caves under the earth. They were serious. What do you think, Anuradha? They were really serious for their spiritual life. And they would block out external attractions. Some would bind a cloth around their eyes and the nose and the ears just to not be bothered with material energy, you know. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one should keep the senses covered, and this means one can either chant while sitting in an isolated room with a door lock, or with the eyes and head covered with a cloth. The old times, you know, serious, serious, serious time. Just to really block out the distraction, because if you can be just concentrated on the chanting, then you will be you will be able to experience the flow of the mantra. I have one friend. He is a famous kirtan singer, and he sings very often. He's all over the world, because I will be crucified if some of my other people hear who is the name of that friend. I will not mention him. Also, he will he prefers to remain anonymous. And he once told me that when he went to a saint, that was at the beginning of his singing career. He's very, very famous. This saint told him, "What is it in you that keeps you from being attentive to wherever it is that you are doing what you are doing?" I want to ask this question. Find out in you that problem which is there, which makes you inattentive, not only in japa. When you are in japa inattentive, you will be inattentive in friendships. Your mind will go when you talk with your best friend somewhere else. Let's eat an ice cream soon, you know, or it will go just somewhere. You have to learn to be attentive in your spiritual practice. If you don't learn it, you will be inattentive to whatever you do. You will just be always with your mind all over the universe and never focused. So therefore, in Vaishnava tradition, it is so important to block out the distractions, that in old times people have gone in caves and covered their faces to just hear the sound vibration which is inside and allow themselves to be carried in the river of this blissful mantra. So when you do this, the offense will gradually vanish, and you will have the full enjoyment of the holy name, says Haridas Thakur. This is where you can start. So I want to end this workshop here. I thank you very much, Govinda Nandan. I thank you very much for being so kind to us to reveal something of truth. We felt you when you were speaking, and this enlivened some of us to share freely with our partners our points and where we were weak, and it helped us also to find solutions. I would now like to just request Bhananani to make a few announcements for how the day continues, and then we will sing together with Ojashvi a few kirtans.